The world is changed. I feel it in the water. I feel it in the earth. I smell it in the air.
Nip it in the bud!
Testosterone. Testosterone. That's what Mel Gibson's famous for. Testosterone movies. Blood, guts, killing. These people don't get enough sleep. Yeah, all the violence. I hate violent movies. I'll take the sex. Give me the sex anytime. But the violence, you can have the violence. I know that Jesus' death was violent. But what did it accomplish? Mel, where's your context? You want to make a radical movie? Oh, there I go again with the radical. Tell you what I would do if I was making The Passion of Christ. You really want to hear this? I don't know. Don't think you want to hear this. Here it goes. If I was making a movie, yeah, I'd have the nasty Romans. I'd have the nasty high priests. And then I'd throw in a couple well-dressed Baptists. I'd have a Baptist man throwing the spear, poking Jesus' heart out. I'd have a nice little lady Sunday school teacher slapping Christ in the face while singing, "Amazing Grace." That's what I'd do. Not because they were accomplices in his death, but because they deny in their religion, in their practices, in their beliefs, in their doctrines, they deny what Christ accomplished. You know, I read in People magazine that Mel Gibson does appear in the film. Did you know that? Well, actually, it's his right hand that appears. He's the one holding the hammer, driving the first nail. Mel said, "I'm guilty. I'm guilty of the crucifixion of Christ." Well, in a sense, you're right, Mel. You're right in a sense that our sins did crucify Christ. But you're of the Catholic mindset now that that's going to produce guilt. You're not going to get past the guilt. And here's my problem with the movie. Mel, give us a context. You leave us with the guilt, just like the church did to me when I was a kid. They left Christ on the cross, never got him down, never got him up to heaven where now I live by grace. Now I'm reaping the fruit of the crucifixion. No, you never got us to the point where we actually enjoyed ourselves because of the awful agony Christ paid for us. Instead, he stayed on the cross. It's a continual feeling of guilt. And every time you looked at that bleeding man on the crucifix, it was supposed to make you feel bad, and I can't do enough for him, and it brought you into bondage. And that's not what Christ has in mind for us. That's not why he went to the cross. I read that verse for you. I think it was on Friday, Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ frees us. Don't forget that verse. For freedom, Christ frees us. Not so we can feel guilty for the rest of our lives. Nothing about resurrection in the movie. One of the reviews, I think it was in People magazine, said that unless you really knew the backstory here, and there's not too many people who don't know the backstory of Jesus Christ coming into the world to take away sin, it's just unmitigated violence, constant barrage of blood and guts. Classic Mel Gibson fare. No resurrection. What did it accomplish? I'll tell you a movie I saw that moved me, and that was back in 1979. It was another, quote, Jesus movie. It was called Jesus of Nazareth. I saw this movie in 1979, and it had a profound effect on me. I'm not denying that watching Christ die, watching the Passion would not move a person. And I hope that this movie, even as it's released on video and down through the months and the years that it's available, I do hope that it moves people to consider what Christ did. But I fear that that won't happen simply because there's a context missing of the greater picture of what this work accomplished. And maybe that's not the job of the movie maker, but it was the job of the movie maker of Jesus of Nazareth, because when I saw Jesus dragging his cross to Calvary in that movie, After that was over, I had to go to my room, and I got to my knees, and I just cried out to God. I have to know Jesus Christ. I have to know the man that would do that for me. And that became really a driving force in my life of wanting to know. And all my life, that's all I've wanted to do since that time is what happened at the cross. I got to find out what happened there. Obviously, it was monumental. It was the turning point, not just in human history, but in universal history. And I knew I had to understand the consequences of the cross. And that was 1979. And now it's been these many years that God has showed me, slowly unveiled for me, step by step, what that cross accomplished. And it's better than I've heard in any church that I've ever been to. It's so huge. He not only saved mankind, he rescued the celestial world, the spiritual world, the forces of wickedness among the celestials, also rescued them from sin, from estrangement. And through this cross, he's going to reconcile all creation back to himself. That's how big it was. That's what he's showing me. But in 1979, the movie had a context. There was a glory attached to it. There was a majesty, not just the blood mill. There wasn't just the nails. There wasn't just the violence. There was a majesty to it, a glory. You felt the presence of God, even among the Romans, even among the high priests. All these things occurred, we know, by the counsel and foreknowledge of God. Well, not everybody knows that. I should go to Acts chapter 4 here, shouldn't I? Well, I got time to look up in my scriptures here, Acts chapter 4. Who crucified Christ? I don't have time. Oh, man. Who crucified Jesus Christ? Well, the Romans did it. Well, that's not true. The Jews, of course, forced the Romans' hands. Well, the Jews did it then. Well, no. The Jews were subject to a force beyond them. Oh, it was Satan. Well, yeah. Satan did it to him. Well, who's behind Satan? God is behind Satan. Who really crucified Christ? Going to tell you tomorrow. I hope you're with us. I got a little more to say about the movie. Tomorrow's Thursday. All right, we're winding things down. This is a good week. I've enjoyed being with you here. I hope you've enjoyed it too. I'm Martin Zender. We'll see you tomorrow.